Power 98.7 podcast.
Still with us here on Power Hour on Power 98.7 with myself, Ayabonga Tawe, and our next conversation touches on something that is certainly on the tongues of a lot of people here in South Africa, and that's cryptocurrency. Now, often when we talk about cryptocurrency, we tend to think that it falls on the margins of the financial services sector, and two local entrepreneurs have developed a world-first investment mechanism that really puts paid to that kind of perception, in combining, of course, the power of cryptocurrency and traditional tax-efficient investments. Now, the investment offers a higher returns, is SARS-backed, and, of course, is approved by the Financial Services Board. The name of the company is Aziza Coin, and they employ Section 12J venture capital companies in South Africa, and which offers generous tax subsidies through tax legislation that allows taxpayers to deduct what they invest in this type of company against their taxable income. And, of course, a cryptocurrency mechanism is complementing this, that facilitates tax authorities' support for entrepreneurship. It certainly sounds quite surprising, and I'm joined in studio now by the co-founder of Aziza Coin, and that is Sheikhs Motsilili. Bra Sheikhs, kunjani?
Hey, I'm good. Ayabonga, and you?
Very well, thank you. Sheikhs, in layman's terms, okay, just unpack for us, I mean, this investment mechanisms. Are you creating your own Bitcoin here, or your own cryptocurrency, or are you putting in a sort of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin alongside a basket of traditional asset classes? Or is it just a cryptocurrency investment in a venture capital fund?
Good question. The Aziza Coin is an asset-backed cryptocurrency, quite different to the Bitcoin in many aspects. I'll touch on a few of them. First and foremost, at the moment, it has not yet, there's not been an initial coin offering, so it's not listed. So sure, it's in a closed phase. Mm. And the intention the coin was created was to actually raise funds to support startups in South Africa, mm, right? And let me maybe talk about what a venture capital company is, sure, the Section 12J. Mm. A VCC is an FSB-licensed company that is given VCC status by the South African Revenue Services. Mm. VCCs are put in place to support a minimum of 5 startups or small to medium-sized enterprises at any point in time, so no less than 5. And they basically collect money from South African taxpayers, mm, and in turn reinvest in these startups. Now, this is very generous from the South African government, as they basically are covering, you know, quite a large part of the risk, as it were, the investor, mm, risk. So
how are they doing that?
It's linked to your, obviously, it's linked to your marginal tax rate. Okay. Right? So if, let's say, for argument's sake, you were on a 40% tax rate.
Yes.
Right? And you put 100 rand investment into a VCC. Mm. The taxman basically is covering the 40 rand of that 100 rand investment. Mm. You've got shares equal to 100 rand, yet because that 100 rand is deductible against your taxable income, effectively you've only paid 60 rand,
exactly,
for 100 rand's worth of shares. Now, with the cryptocurrency boom that is happening across the globe, mm, you know, I mean,
more so north of our borders in Zimbabwe.
You know that all coins that have, to date this year, the average return of all coins is like 1,300%. Mm. So that's the average return of all coins. So there is a boom, and we've taken an opportunity, and we've basically launched the Aziza Coin to further reduce the exposure for our investors, you know, deal, mm, with the 60 rand that you're risking, you know.
Sure.
And what we've done there is, look, there's something called that SARS calls the tax gap. Mm. And basically that's all the monies that they should be taxing that they are unaware of. Mm. Now, cryptocurrency profits fall in that basket. Basically, the South African government has no line of sight with how much bitcoins are owned by South Africans, and when they do sell them and make profits, tax those profits or whatever the case is, right? So
it's really like an alternative or parallel, yeah, marketplace in the
currency
landscape.
Sure, yeah. Now, one very unique feature with Aziza Coin, and we have, you know, in conjunction with SARS, we've sort of said, look, we are first of all going to be the first that's going to actually supply SARS with all trading info for South African citizens. So if you make money off our coin, we're going to provide that information to the receiver.
But that's only off Aziza. So if you go to another one, say a Luno, and I hate to mention them,
yeah,
you won't be able to access some of that information, right?
No. Okay. We will be able to provide to the receiver all transactions that fall under the Aziza coin.
Mm.
So if someone has invested in our coin and makes money, we're going to inform the receiver because it's the right thing to do. You know?
Okay.
And I mean, if you've made money, you must pay tax on that money.
Okay. You know? If you're thinking that our sheikhs are only in football, well, in Petomunyu Sheikh.
It is a nickname. Yeah. Actually, my name is the same as my surname.
Okay.
I'm Mutididi Mutididi.
Mutididi.
Yeah. And Sheikh sort of took over because when I started working for a corporate many years ago, they couldn't create an email profile with me because the system kept on bringing up an error because the name and surname field were the same, you know. So sheikhs, they asked to use a nickname.
So it's not because of your prowess on the football field. That's
well, that's where it comes from, you know, initially.
Now,
yeah.
Now sheikhs, you spent 4 years here,
yeah,
in conversations with the receiver of revenue about this investment mechanism. I mean, what did you have to say to them to convince them?
Well,
after 4 years, I mean, it's a long period of time.
Well, I think the issue here was that we needed to, first of all, make sure that we could have a structure that made sense. You know, our intention, and I was still talking about the 60%,
yes,
is to encourage not only Aziza coin holders, but all cryptocurrency holders to report that they actually own cryptocurrency.
So like a cryptocurrency amnesty.
Exactly, something like that. And to actually, you know, tell the receiver that I've made a killing of so much and declare that. So it is through these conversations and our vision here, Ayabonga, is to fund tech startups, you know. And I'm sure in this show it's been touched on before, but it's amazing that last year, not even once a pre-revenue startup got funding in South Africa. So, and yet, you know, the top 2% of entrepreneurs generated 31% of all jobs, created 31% of all jobs last year. So it is a tragedy. And the VCC, the venture capital company, in our case, the company I have is called Alumni Energy Investments, is a mechanism to get money from ordinary South African taxpayers, companies are included, pool this money and support tech startups and in turn create employment, you know, et cetera, close the wage gap and, you know.
Now, Sheikhs, we've often said, yes, on the show that, you know, one of the reasons why a lot of pre-revenue startups probably haven't gotten a single cent in funding is largely because much of our investor landscape in this country is heavily conservative and very risk averse.
Sure.
And from your perspective here, you're arguing that if you can channel two resources to that 2%, which was the high expectation entrepreneurs who've created 31% of all the jobs created last year. But my question then would be, how do you define that 2%? Who sits in that 2% in the tech landscape?
Well, Alumni Energy Investments has a, I would say, a board that selects. I've received a number of you know, proposals and, you know, requests, and we go through each one. It is our choice. It is our decision as a venture capital company, which opportunities to support, you know. But in addition to selecting them, we go one step further. We've also created a mechanism of shared services. You find that the reason, I mean, I think between 8 and 9 out of 10 startups fail. And this is why...
Within the first 2 years.
Yeah, which is why funds don't go there, you know. So what we've done is created what we call shared services.
Yes.
Now, if a guy has an idea, he's a techie, you want him to focus on his product, but he needs to have HR support, financial management IT. Support, et cetera, et cetera. So for all of our investee companies, the selected companies, we also provide a shared services sort of additional support to them other than money. And this is to increase their probability of success. Obviously, we have a responsibility to our investors. We want them to make money. So instead of just giving them funding and letting them run with it on their own, we do much more than that, you know. And hopefully, we will in the process of funding startups, solving unemployment, but also make our investors rich in the you know, in the same breath, you know. Yeah.
Now the other value add, and of course, you know, we can touch, and you've touched on sort of the question of investee selection. So how do you select the people who you choose to invest in here? And of course, you would then on the back end do some risk scoring and a range of other metrics that you would look at to then assign the necessary investment. I'm interested from an investor side. What's your value proposition compared to any other VC funds that are out there or any other blended investment asset classes?
In the closed period, there are indeed other venture capital companies, you know, with the status, but none that have the structure where there's a sort of an affiliation with a cryptocurrency. Now, in the closed phase, we are not offering the coin for sale unless one is coming in with an intention to support the venture capital company. Are you with me? So in the closed period and you go into the coin, the intention would be, if you do make money out of the coin, is
you
to move the profits into the venture capital company and be willing to wait for 5 years, because and that's a SARS regulation. You cannot redeem your shares within 5 years, which makes sense. if you think about it, a lot of startups are challenged because their investors want returns too early, I would say, and don't give them enough time to expand, and you know, and etc. So in South Africa, the South African Revenue Service says it's 5 years before you can actually get you know, sell your shareholding, or else they recoup the tax benefit that you have gotten if you do redeem before 5 years. A similar mechanism in the UK called the Enterprise Investment Scheme. It's 3 years there that you need to be sitting in the company before you can sell the shares.
Now, Shakes, your IPO is happening in May 2018. But prior to that, of course, you're offering a, you know, prospective coin holders, some Black Friday-like deals as part of that first IPO. Just talk us through some of those. And in particular, I'm quite interested in how you are saying that you are assuring your potential investors that they could get a 3,000% capital appreciation for some of the early adopters.
Yeah.
How?
Well, we in the closed phase, the price of the coin is driven by an algorithm. And we have modeled it such that it started at 1 euro cent, and we've modeled it to get to about 30 euro cents in May when we go ICO. And in that fashion, if you adopt early and go in, and it's a euro cent a coin, you potentially can make 30 times, which is the 300%. What we've done though is, We the earlier you come in, and this again is driven by an algorithm, is to, it's sort of nudge theory. You know, a lot of people will want to wait for the last day on the 28th of February to actually support a venture capital company and get the tax deduction. But we need the money now to start working. So the sooner you invest, the more coins you we will allocate to you. That coins are not tradable yet, and they will be tradable once the ICO occurs.
And one, of course, would think that as you near towards the 28th of February, you know, prices will likely surge as more and more people try and sort of get the taxable income benefit. That's
but we're controlling it until May, by the way. I am on. But the point is that for us, we're giving a bit of a nudge for people to invest now, or like earlier rather than later, closer to the tax year. Remember, the tax man, for the tax man, as long as it falls within the tax year, it's fine. So you'll get your deduction whether you invest today or on the 28th of Feb. It still falls in the 2018 tax year.
But I mean, the mindset year too.
So we've done this to nudge. It's called nudge theory, to nudge people to invest earlier, so they're sitting on more coins. So when ICO happens, they make a pretty penny. And that's in the short term. And then, obviously, they're sitting on shares for at least 5 years that potentially would be worth quite a lot.
Shakes. Let's leave it there.
All right.
That there was Shakes Motsididi, who's the co-founder of Aziza Coin. Certainly an interesting concept there, as blending together cryptocurrencies with traditional asset classes. Of course, all with the intention of getting some of the venture capital funds that are needed to kickstart the tech startup ecosystem in South Africa. And for all of you tech entrepreneurs, certainly do follow Shakes and get a sense of what some of the work that they are doing there is. And you could potentially be one of the investees that they consider for some of those much needed funds in our ecosystem.
Power 98.7. Now we're talking.